This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
And now, this is the Rich Eisen Show.
We did it!
Banner number 18 has been secured.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tatum switches to the left hand. Attack to the mid-block. Stop and start on Lively. Runs it off the window. Score and the foul.
These last 7 years have been a roller coaster. I had to listen to all that about me. It was worth it.
Earlier on the show, Dallas Morning News columnist Tim Cowlishaw. Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of this show on the air on the Roku channel, where we re-air as soon as this hour is over. So if you missed hour number one with Tim Cowlishaw talking about what happened to the Mavericks in the finals, as well as what might happen for the Cowboys this fall, and also John Smoltz chiming in on the injuries in Major League Baseball affecting the Dodgers and the Yankees, and his thoughts on Paul Skenes looking as great as he's looked through the first seven starts of his career, it re-airs. This show re-airs on Channel 210. There's also our YouTube channel. Become a subscriber there. We'd greatly appreciate that. There's our podcast version of this show. All 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network. There's a way to also follow us every single day. Just mentally mind meld with us. Just connect with us wherever you are. Chris Brockman has been dressed like a leprechaun named Jerry Sheesting all day.
I got a wardrobe change.
I'll get a wardrobe change. Okay. He's got his, what are you, your Paul Pierce gamer underneath?
Oh, wait, Paul Pierce gamer.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
There he is.
Wardrobe change.
A little like a very J-Lo type moment.
Thank you.
For the final hour of this program. Chris Brockman is celebrating the Celtics raising banner 18. That's Jason Tatum having a good time last night in front of the home folks. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're also going to have an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday because I wasn't here yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Joining us right now is one of our favorites, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, getting ready for the insiders, Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Tom?
Doing well. What's up to my boys in the studio?
Fantastic. I got to ask a question that I don't know if the radio audience is going to understand because they can't see it. But you got something on your upper lip, Tom. You want to wipe that off?
What is
that?
Wow, Tom.
What do we got here? What's going on? What's happening?
So this is one of the only weeks of the year, Rich, that I don't have to see the light of day a whole lot on TV.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, as the great philosopher Jerry Seinfeld once said, you have to take a vacation from yourself. But really, I'm figuring maybe I can be like the Punxsutawney Phil of the Raiders quarterback competition. Right now, this is coming in much more Aiden O'Connell than Gardner Minshew, so I would be buying stock right now in AOC.
But this is a choice, Tom. This is what we call a choice because you do appear to be well-shaven on the cheeks and beard area. This is a choice that you have made here, and I'm wondering what's going on. What's up with the choice? This is the insiders on the mustache front, Tom.
This is as inside as it gets right here. I cut my lip shaving a week ago, my upper lip, and I can't shave it again or it will start bleeding everywhere. So I got about one more week of this until my wife will be able to bear to look at me again. But I'm glad that I got to roll it out right here on the show, Rich.
Okay. Well, all I'm just saying is that if you hold on for three more weeks, okay, right now it's very Paul Skeens-like.
Yeah, Skeens has a stash.
Don't you think?
Keep it.
And Livy probably likes that.
Okay.
So all I'm saying, Tom, you know, because you have a few days of residency here in the middle of July when I take my annual vacation in July. You could show up here in Los Angeles and make a killing in Van Nuys, California with that thing. So just be careful. Okay, Tom? That's all I'm saying.
I believe I'm coming in July 15th. Yep. If this is still on my face by them, yeah. I'm going to be coming there as a divorce man. So we'll see how this, shakes out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pelissero, hey, Darius the Inside.
Great to see you,
information.
Man.
Didn't expect to start this way, but also didn't expect to see that on my Zoom today, Tom.
No.
And by that, I mean that. Okay, Tom.
Pelissero, we're requesting you to have that full mustache.
All in all, here's what I'm saying.
I like the mustache,
here's what
Tom.
I'm saying. This, you know what this is like? Tom, I'm sorry. What this is like is folks here in Los Angeles when they go working out in a gym with like a ski cap on. It's like, you don't need that, okay? It's 75 degrees out. It's 80 degrees out. Yep. You're using what I grew up with as a necessity, as an accessory. You don't need that.
I'm wearing one of those ski caps today.
Okay, what I'm saying is, though, I've got a beard on because I don't, you know, I'm out of options. You got a full head of lettuce. I don't understand. But this is out of necessity you're talking about. So I get you.
Just like to feel a little different, like to feel like it's the off season, Rich. This is where we landed.
Okay. So you want to answer Chris Brockman's question as to why Trevor Lawrence got paid with the one playoff win and a couple of seasons around it that weren't very first overall draft choice like, Tom?
When I was out there a couple of weeks ago, Brockman wasn't overly thrilled with me because he posed the
question
of Tua versus Trevor Lawrence and which one of them would get a $50 million plus payday. I didn't choose one. I said both. And that's the reality that all these quarterback contracts now are going to be $50 million plus. I think that where the Trevor Lawrence one is going to surprise some people was the fact that it went all the way to Burrow. It went to $55 million per year because that now bears on the Tua situation, on Jordan Love. I don't think it really bears on the Dak Prescott situation because that was always in all likelihood going to be upwards of $55 million. But now where you could have an intellectual debate of whether a Tua contract should be closer to $50 or $60 million, now you have to look at this if you're his agent and say 55's the floor and we want to beat that because Trevor Lawrence statistically has not done what Tua has done over the past couple of years with Mike McDaniel there. Yes, Trevor Lawrence has a playoff win, which Tua does not, but every young quarterback coming up now, we went from 40 to 45 to 50. Now 55 is really going to be the baseline for all these deals to get done. And so make no mistake, that does complicate some things when teams are trying to budget this out and figure out exactly where these numbers should be.
So then Chris's pushback, if you don't mind me pushing back for you, Chris, because I think you're giving voice to what a lot of folks who are watching this and listening to it are
definitely
saying,
speak for the people.
Is what then why, who cares what an agent is demanding? Who cares? You know, and I know that agent represents somebody that's very important to the franchise and the locker room and the health of it. And by the way, this is pushback on the other side of it. I understand what you're saying, but why isn't there a team that's willing to deliver a market correction of significance that might even cause a fracture of a relationship and then start from scratch at the quarterback spot? Why won't they do that?
Well, I talked to a GM for a different team this morning who made that exact same point, which was what he said was, I would let Tua play it out. Now, the issues that you create when you let your quarterback play out a fifth-year option on a contract is, number one, you know, there's a leverage piece to this. Daniel Jones was in a different situation. It was a unique situation because him and Saquon were both free agents at the same time. And so you ended up in a situation where they wanted to get the deal done with Saquon, tag Daniel Jones. Saquon ends up turning down a big deal. Then you've got to pay Daniel Jones to be able to keep that together here. There's also just the relationship. Yeah, there is the relationship with the player and your locker room dynamics and all that stuff. But the GM who called me this morning was just saying, like, you can't do a deal at that number. It's just, it's gone too far. And so certainly, Rich, there's going to be teams to look at this and say, you know, we're not comfortable going there. I mean, when Daniel Jones got 40 last year, it blew people's minds. Obviously, Tua has produced at a higher level over the last couple of years statistically. Daniel Jones, though, also has been a part of a playoff win like Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence now is going all the way to 55. You know, there certainly has been discussion within the league, Rich, among certain owners about even the idea of a quarterback cap that at some point you want quarterback numbers to not go over a certain percentage of your salary cap. To my knowledge, that really hasn't gained traction, in part because so many teams have paid their quarterbacks. And if you went to suddenly an NBA model where all of a sudden you have the max and the super max, and there's really only a couple levels that guys can get paid at, it kind of changes the dynamics in terms of how you set yourself up salary cap wise and whatnot. So absolutely, there's been a discussion about exactly what you're talking about, which is, how are we paying this much money to this position and to certain guys just because they're the next one up? And that's where that Trevor Lawrence contract for some people is going to be one of those moments where Trevor Lawrence matching Joe Burrow is the highest paid player in NFL history, given a little bit of the inconsistency we've seen from Trevor Lawrence, the fact that he and the Jaguars did not play well down the stretch last year. It does give some people pause, but it's also a reflection that the quarterback market, like the salary cap, is going to continue to go up. So the longer you wait, the higher these numbers are probably going to be, absent what you're talking about, which would be some team convincing a player to take a sub-market deal, which is really hard to do in 2024.
Which, and you also open yourself up to, listen, a contract like Trevor Lawrence given in that way, to somebody whose resume might not be as decorated as your quarterback, who may be up soon, but it's Shad Khan's team, right? And it's Trent Baalke's salary cap to figure out. And if the owner's like, I love this kid, he's done everything, I want to, sure, if we can, we go a little higher, then have him match Burrow, because I kind of want to walk around saying I've done right by my guy, and I think that actually might be a metric that gets us through a tough game, because he believes that we have his back. And we did the same thing similar to Josh Allen. And so you open yourself up to that owner doing that thing. The Jaguars are going along their merry way, and it's somebody else's bag to hold now. They don't care. Why would they? So where do things stand with Jordan Love as we speak right now? Because Jordan Love is like, he damn near made the NFC Championship game in his first foray. You know,
yeah, you don't have as big of a track record on Jordan Love just because it's a one-year starter, but he was playing at a very high level the back half of last season and into the playoffs, that last interception notwithstanding. I think that it's a lot like Tua, where the Trevor Lawrence numbers come in. And while previously you could say, well, Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl, we're not going to want to go above Joe Burrow, but we'll get you in right underneath. Now, all of a sudden, it's Trevor Lawrence got 55. Why isn't Jordan Love getting substantially more than that? I believe he's due like $11 million this season as part of that bridge contract he did a year ago, which gave him a raise in 2023 and effectively bought out his 2024, what would have been the option year. There's no way Jordan Love, in my estimation, is playing for $11 million this year. I do believe that they are going to figure out that contract, but no question, every time one of these deals get done, the other ones become more expensive. There's not a lot of occasions in recent NFL history, especially at the quarterback position, where you wait and the price becomes better, which of course brings us to the whole Jerry Jones and leaves falling and all that good stuff, that all of a sudden his quarterback, whether it's in Dallas or otherwise, is probably quite possibly going to be in line to be the first $60 million man.
Do you think the Dolphins test anything on this conversation with Tua, or this thing gets done with a five in a spot that everyone's comfortable with? I know I'm asking you to crystal ball it, but go for it, Tom.
Well, I would say that the Dolphins have been trying, and I know his agent was in Miami during the minicamp or leading up to the minicamp, so it seemed like maybe there was a pathway forward to get a deal done. They weren't able to do that at that time, but the Dolphins have been very committed to, let's sign up Tua Tagovailoa as our long-term quarterback. I think that, Rich, the part of this that we sometimes lose is the human aspect of things. And when you remember everything that Tua has been through in his life and his career last year, or, go back 2 years ago, and the world wanted Tua Tagovailoa to retire, regardless of how many concussions he actually had, regardless of, what happened in Miami, what happened in Cincinnati, all that stuff, what it looked like on the field. We all have those images still in our heads, but there was this massive push for people who were not totally familiar with Tua Tagovailoa's medical history and were not Tua or his people or the Dolphins, who were saying he can't play again. This guy should never be on the field again. It's irresponsible. And then Tua gets back out there last offseason. He takes jiu-jitsu lessons, learns to fall better, plays every game last season. You know, it was not just the concussion issues, but he had a variety of things that he went through in the early portion of his career. Last year was the healthiest he's played, and he played at a high level, although the Dolphins, much like the Jaguars, didn't play their best at the end of the season with some injuries out of guys like Waddle and Mostert at the skill spots that impact them. So now if you don't pay Tua Tagovailoa, when, you know, his press conference a couple of weeks ago, he made abundantly clear that he's up to speed on the, you know, on the dynamics of the conversation. He has gotten updates. He thinks a lot of progress has been made. If all of a sudden you get to a spot and, okay, let's say you play hardball, we're pulling the offer, you can play out the option year. Does that cause Tua to press? Does that cause him to maybe hold the ball longer and take more shots? I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not inside the meeting rooms knowing where the football is supposed to go. But by paying Tua Tagovailoa, by getting the deal done, you potentially, assuming health, which you can never assume, especially for somebody with a medical history, but as long as the guy stays healthy and continues to ascend, you've locked him in before the Dak Prescott deal's done, before some other quarterbacks potentially get paid, before that next group of guys, Brock Purdy and company, are up. You may end up with a better number at a time that the cap is going to continue to grow, and so you would assume that salaries are going to continue to skyrocket here. I think that you have to take into account Tua is a very unique situation for a lot of different reasons here. The Dolphins' actions have shown they want to get him done. To this point, though, they just haven't agreed on what that number is. And that number after the Lawrence deal probably moves a little bit, especially from the agent's perspective.
If you're willing to share, Tom, before we move on, the unnamed general manager that you spoke to this morning that would counsel the Dolphins to let Tua play it out, was health the reason why the general manager has that theory, or is it something else?
No, it was just sheer economics. It was, you know, the first question was, why did the Jaguars do that deal at 55? With Trevor Lawrence? And then if you're Tua and now the baseline is 56 or 55.1 or whatever, his point was just let him play it out. In other words, given the history with Tua, not because of that, but just given his history, but also the fact that the numbers are so bonkers here, you have him under franchise tags for the next couple of years. And yeah, that can get ugly. And it's a road that most teams don't want to go down with their quarterback. But, you know, your worst case scenario then is you have him this year on the option, and then you tag him twice. And again, it might get ugly and all those sorts of things, but it's 3 years where you don't have to lock up 20%+ of your salary cap for the long haul. You can continue to go year to year. And these are the things that every GM in the league has to figure out with their high paid players. I mean, think about the Vikings with Justin Jefferson. I mean, $35 million per year on that deal blew the wide receiver market completely out of the water, especially when you chop off the fake years on, you know, the Tyreek Hill deal and the Davante Adams deal. But what are you paying for Justin Jefferson? Well, you're paying for not having to deal with a potential holdout, a high-profile standoff that leads every TV show with a guy who's in every commercial. He's the face of your organization. He's the face of the state. And you're paying for all those things. You're paying for the gritty and all those things. You know, Tua is in a little bit different situation here. But imagine, Rich, if we're having this conversation every week for the next 3 years about Tua Tagovailoa, there is some residual impact of that. It's not the reason that you do a deal. You do a deal because you believe that this guy can really get that much better and he can be the one who can lead you to Super Bowls here. But the human aspect is also part of it here. The hardliner, it's a lot easier for a GM who's not with the team to say, I wouldn't pay the guy. I don't think he's that good. I don't think it's going to be worth it. I wouldn't tie up 20%+ of my salary cap in him when you got all these other guys to pay. It's another thing to say, okay, well, if we go down that road and it gets ugly with Tua, and then a couple years from now, we don't have a quarterback at all, what do we do? That's a different type of math when it's actually your job on the line.
Well, speaking of the wide receiver market, Tom Pelissero, it's been a minute since a connection between Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels made headlines. But the former Arizona State colleagues had an exchange that made headlines because Brandon Ayuk was talking to Jaden Daniels about his contract situation. I'd like you to interpret this exchange for me. Hit it.
Bro, what?
What happened, bro?
They said they don't want me back. I swear.
Okay. He said they don't want me back. Did the Niners tell Brandon Ayuk we're done in these conversations, or is that something else that we should interpret, Tom?
Well, first of all, Rich, I do love that the lengths to which Brandon Ayuk went to create that video to get Jaden Daniels on FaceTime, then have somebody else recording the phone. This wasn't like an inadvertent tongue slip on a video game stream or something. This was a pretty pointed message from Brandon Ayuk. Listen, the 49ers have spent the offseason trying to get a contract done. He has the same agent, actually, as Tua Tagovailoa. They haven't been able to this point to, you know, figure out exactly what that number should be. You know, we've seen all these massive contracts get done. Amon-Ra St. Brown at 28, Jefferson at 35. If you're Ayuk, you're wanting to be probably somewhere in that bandwidth there. If you're the 49ers, you're saying, you know, you haven't had the productivity that Amon-Ra St. Brown has. It's not that we don't want you back. You know, if he interprets, hey, we're not going to give you $34 million a year as we don't want you back, that's fine. And that's Brandon Ayuk's right. The reality is he's under contract for about $14 million this season with the 49ers. They did have trade interest prior to the draft. At that time, the price tag was really high on Ayuk. It would have been in a trade. It would have been a first-round pick and probably more, depending exactly where that first-round pick was. Well, now the draft is gone. The 49ers were in the Super Bowl a year ago. They're pressing to try to win it all in 2024. The idea that they're now going to flip around and just get rid of Brandon Ayuk seemed a little bit convenient to a player who obviously has the relationship with Jaden Daniels going back to their Arizona State days. All of which is to say, I don't know. I can't sit here and say for certain that Brandon Ayuk will be a member of the 49ers this season. I also think, Rich, right now it's hard to imagine that he's not. Anything can happen, but he either needs to show up for training camp or failing that for the season, or else he's going to be missing out on close to a $1 million paycheck every week. If he plays out this season, he probably gets tagged in 2025, and then we're talking about, is it a tag and trade? Can you get a deal done? The price continues to go up to potentially get a deal done, assuming Ayuk is healthy and productive. But for the 49ers, you know, you're pretty far down the line. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, they're on vacation right now. They're not thinking about trading away one of their best players. At some point, you have to make those types of hard decisions. We'll see where things go when they reconvene closer to training camp here. But I would say right now the arrows are pointing toward Brandon Ayuk being a part of the team in 2024, and then we'll see.
Well, then we'll finish up. Speaking of out of office, what's your reporting on Aaron Rodgers' whereabouts last week and the residual effects of it, Tom?
I've had a lot of conversations about Aaron Rodgers and the state of the Jets. I would fairly say that it's safe to assume Aaron Rodgers had something that had been long pre-planned that could only take place last weekend and was not taking place in the greater New York, New Jersey area. Everyone I have talked to has consistently said this is not something that is going to have, you know, carry over into training camp or the regular season. It's not going to hamper them on the field, really not going to hamper him in the locker room. He was awesome through the course of OTAs. Of course, he's coming back from the Achilles and everything. I think that this is, you know, to a certain degree, Rich, yes, it's a story because it became a story and because this is so out of the ordinary, you know, for a player to miss a mandatory mini camp and eat $100,000 in fines for a reason that's not contract related. However, everything with Aaron Rodgers is out of the ordinary. He's 40 years old. He's a mainstay on political talk shows. He's got a documentary that's being made about him. He experiments in plant medicine. He tried to come back from an Achilles tear in like 4 months. Nothing is ever quite normal here. But by the time that we get to training camp, besides the fact that Aaron Rodgers now is going to have to answer for where exactly he was, which I think if there's anything, Rich, that was a little bit surprising in all this, it's that Aaron Rodgers could have cleaned it up with one tweet, one quote at some point. Hey, don't even say where you're going if you don't want to. Just like, hey, worked this out months ago, got something that I have to do this weekend, but love my boys, see him in training camp. He hasn't said anything. And so until he does, until he shows up on a certain other talk show or he goes to the podium or puts out a tweet or an Instagram post or whatever, there's going to be a lot of speculation about it. I don't get the sense that anybody is really concerned about the impact that it has on the team. However, Rich, you got 32 teams in the NFL. 31 of them got to spend their mini camp week celebrating, hey, you know, we A lot of positive progress. We're finishing on a high note. We all know a lot of teams aren't going to be competitive, but nobody's won or lost the game at this time of year. You're supposed to celebrate. What a great offseason program. We're all ready to go. And poor Robert Saleh had to stand up there for 2 days looking like he had just watched Zach Wilson throw four more interceptions and answer questions from reporters about where the hell his quarterback was. You know, once you get past that piece of it, I don't anticipate that there's a massive impact here, but is it going to be a story up until training camp? Absolutely.
Well, here's my prediction, Tom, is we won't hear from Rodgers until some local reporter at the Tahoe event he's playing golf in will find him, and he'll be willing to say something. It might be a reporter that he knows from any Northern California days or anything like that, and he'll, you know, make light of it by also giving a jab at anybody that thought it was something that he was causing a problem. And my only concern, though, is the headlines that were created. A couple of newspapers went all in on him. And how will he handle that? And how will that be handled? Will that create, as well as the back and forth that will happen at the top of training camp, will that create any issue for a post-game press conference after he loses a game, which will happen? And will that then potentially cause an issue down the road?
But that's exactly it.
That's the one thing. That's the one thing.
The story is that it has become a story.
Right.
And this was just it's completely self-inflicted. It didn't need to be a thing. Again, there's a lot of different ways that they could have tackled it. If he misses the previous week's OTAs, which are voluntary, and he showed up for every OTA,
right,
and is back for minicamp, we're not talking about it.
Correct.
Just, it's so out of the ordinary that it becomes a thing. And yeah, there's going to be certain people, whether it's in the media or fans, who are going to constantly throw that back in your face. If you don't play well, you know, come week one, if things go bad, there's going to be a lot of questions about it. You know, yeah, it's just, it's a different thing. Nothing's ever normal with the Jets. Everything I've heard, Rich, out of minicamp, which you can take to heart as a Jets fan, is that this team right now, through the course of the offseason, looks better than the 2023 team did. And I'm not talking the 2023 team that started like seven different quarterbacks. I'm talking about the offseason and what they looked like. Year two in this offense, they've gotten better along the offensive line. They got some big young running backs who have been really impressive through the course of camp, not just Breece Hall, but some of the other guys that they've brought in here. Mike Williams has been really good for building. You fully anticipate they're going to be good on defense as well. It's just, it's a tough spot when you're the guy who came out in January and said, we need to get the BS, the distractions out of the building. And then you create the dictionary definition of a distraction, which is the final phase of the off season. And every one of your coaches and teammates has to go up there and answer questions about why you had something more important to do than be on the field. It may not impact you. It's the same reps you would get, OTAs and everything else. It's just, it's a tough spot that certain people, namely Robert Saleh, were put in the organization. Aaron, at some point, is going to have to answer that. I have interviewed Aaron on the putting green at Tahoe, Rich. So he does do that.
Yes.
Part of his warm-up, he will hit the putting green. So I'd encourage, you know, Sam Farmer, whoever is in the locale there, to just stake out the putting green. That's probably the best spot to get him.
Well, that is definitely the next one would think public appearance to expect him at, because he does love that tournament, and the tournament loves him. And we'll see. Tom, in the meantime, Aquaphor might help, a little Neosporin on that lip.
In this light, I think this looks pretty good.
Honestly. Yeah, yeah. I think you should just go full Fu Manchu over the next week. There you go. Tom, thanks for the time, brother. Appreciate it. That's Tom Pelissero. Let's beat it down the road. And when we come back, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
I don't know if you're aware, but you going to Yale was brought up on game two of the NBA Finals.
No way.
Yes, because...
Was it the part where the Cavs were really losing at the end?
No, it's not that. It's not that. No. It's that Jeff Van Gundy, who was on the broadcast, said he went to school with you.
No way.
In a class. Do you...
Sorry, Jeff. Don't remember you. You weren't that memorable.
Oops. You don't remember Jeff Van Gundy
in class? I'm afraid I don't.
Because the reverse is true.
No. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Your phone wasn't lighting up from friends saying...
No, I wish I'd seen it. I would have been able to see his face and maybe, you know, but
well,
I was...
Well, I mean, I think we could... Can we bring up a picture of Jeff Van Gundy? I don't know. So just stroll down memory lane here. Well, the one in the middle is Jeff Van Gundy. Does that ring a bell
to
you?
That rings no bell whatsoever. I'm so sorry, Jeff.
No class reunions at all with Dean Jody Foster and Jeff Van Gundy. Okay.
We noticed you mentioned on the air that you were classmates with Jody Foster at Yale.
Yeah, and then you cheap shotted me afterwards.
No, I don't know. I don't know
like,
about cheap.
You brought her on and just feigned total indifference to my existence in the world. It was a setup. I mean... Our freshman year, there was 12 guys on the floor. We all threw in $100 and said, hey, the first guy that gets a date with Jody Foster, you win the money. I'm coming back from the gym in the early fall, and there's a candy shop right outside the big quad for freshmen. The popcorn is popping. It smells great. And from behind me, someone goes, man, that popcorn smells good. And I turn around, and it's her. And I totally choke, and I say, yeah, yeah, and I run to my dorm, right? I was scared. I was intimidated by her.
Oh, yes. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for everything. Back here on the program, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's a Tuesday, but I wasn't here on Monday, so that must mean only one thing. Time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
That's correct. All right, Christopher, have at it, sir. What do you have over there?
Hey, guys. Are you doing as good as me today?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
No,
probably not. I mean, I'm alive, but other than that, no.
Great to see you guys. You guys are all beautiful humans.
Thanks.
Rich, not sure you saw this yesterday,
yes.
But another edition of Hard Knocks was announced. The in-season Hard Knocks. Coming out in December, focuses on the AFC North. The one seed in the AFC will come from the North Division.
So, you're saying that the Hard Knocks, because I did miss this, I was on a plane for 12 hours yesterday.
How'd that go?
All right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you know, watched a lot of the boys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great
finished
show.
Season one.
Welcome
I'm out deep into season two.
Welcome to the party.
Thank you. So, you're saying the entire AFC North is going to have a camera on them?
Yes.
All four teams.
In-season Hard Knocks. All four teams.
Oh, look at that.
Coming out December 3rd.
How about that?
The one seed is coming from the North.
Black and gold.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I don't know if it's going to be them. It could be. I don't know.
Sure. The eight, number one seed, from the, just like last year, just like last year, will come from the AFC North.
Right.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. I'll say that that's not an overreaction. You're giving me four teams.
Yeah.
You're giving me one 25% shot at it. And that's the one division that I think from top to bottom has all four teams can put it together and become a one seed. The AFC East cannot. I don't believe the AFC South can, with all due respect to the AFC West. I don't think all four teams. I think if I have a shot at one division, if I take one division entirely, somebody will be the one seed. I choose that, so I'll take the odds.
What if I press and say someone from the North is going to the Super Bowl?
Now you're overreacting. Now you're overreacting.
Right.
What was the last one seed in the AFC to go and make the Super Bowl and win it? Probably, Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago. Don't worry about that. Stop.
I'm just saying.
No, I'll just that's as saying that the AFC North will produce the one seed is as far as I'm willing to go to piss off Chiefs Nation right now and say that the Chiefs are not going to be a one seed.
June 18th,
for me to sit here and say that. But as we know, even the Chiefs are having issues about seeding right now when it comes to their Super Bowl ring. So, all right.
They might be playing in Kansas for all we know.
What else, Chris?
Rich, I know the guy who was previously on our screen in the segment. I didn't recognize him. He had a mustache. He did
Tom
not
Pelissero.
Agree with that. Tom. Oh, right, Tom.
Right.
Brandon Ayuk is not going to play for the 49ers this year.
That's absurd. It is absurd. It's absurd.
Believe what people tell you. But, and he put out there that they don't want him.
So, what, they're going to trade him? They're going to trade him?
Is he not going to show up?
There's,
if he's not going to show
now
up,
that's
if he's not going to show
issue.
Up,
the
then
one,
they should just trade him and get
one,
something for him.
No, the one way that he will not play for the 49ers this season, if for whatever reason he wants to hold out and sit at home, which I don't know him, so I'm not going to speak for him, it would become extremely surprising. I would eat a garment of Mike Del Tufo's. If Brandon Ayuk sits out the entire season for the San Francisco 49ers, I would eat any garment of Mike Del Tufo's that he's wearing right now.
You know that.
And I don't believe wherever he is, that he's, I won't even plant the image. Okay.
You know, any garment means any garment.
Stop
any,
it. Right?
Like garment.
Brandon Ayuk is not holding out an entire season for the 49ers. And the 49ers have no reason post-draft to trade him. What, are they going to just take their best chance of winning the Super Bowl, which is Ayuk being on the team right now for future considerations and other drafts? Why? No chance of that. So he will either...
Everybody's paying wide receivers. Why aren't they paying him?
Because if... Would you pay... Mr. I'm not paying Trevor Lawrence top of the market. You'd pay Brandon Ayuk if his only way of saying, I'm only showing up if you pay me more than Justin Jefferson. You'd do that? You'd do that. You would.
I think Brandon Ayuk is better at receiver than Trevor Lawrence is at quarterback.
But that's not the point. My point is... If his demand is to be paid top, he wants to be now the highest paid receiver.
He wants the Amon-Ra contract.
Okay, so then, but I don't. It's not my money. I don't know why the Niners would not pay him Amon-Ra money, other than the fact that they have to pay a whole bunch of other people that the Lions don't.
The Lions paid the receiver and the quarterback.
They
That's
sure
exactly
did.
What the Niners are going to have to do.
Unless they believe Juwan Jennings was damn near the Super Bowl MVP. So why do they have to pay Ayuk all that money?
Well, they got Ricky Purcell on a rookie deal. So,
dude, all I'm saying is what you put on the screen is a complete overreaction. Right. That ain't happening.
All right.
What else?
Let's talk Trevor Lawrence.
Let's not forget about him eating Mike's garments, though.
If Ayuk does not play a down for the Niners this year because he's holding out. Correct.
My balls are hot.
Sorry.
How do you know it's not a hat?
No, you said any. You said
I think
any garment.
I think we get to choose.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Use any garment.
Move on.
It's getting summer swamp.
Trevor Lawrence has to win a Super Bowl for this contract to be worth it.
Isn't that what you say about anybody? Isn't that what you say about anybody?
Not Dallas. They're not trying to win Super Bowls.
Yes, they are. Get out of here.
No, we're not.
What do you mean you're not?
I've said this before.
That's absurd. That's absurd that Jerry Jones doesn't want to put one more in the
then
case.
Then why is it Bill Belichick, their head coach?
Dude.
I don't know. Exactly. You can't answer.
Abby Steben.
Focus. Trevor Lawrence.
But I don't know how that Belichick becoming the head coach of this team that they didn't upgrade much on the roster through free agency or sign early enough to create the cap space to help out on that front, how that makes them more of a champion. I don't know how that works.
Some of the players on those Patriots teams that won Super Bowl.
Dude, all I'm saying is you could say that about anybody. You could make that case about
anybody.
Yeah, but
I'm saying it about this guy.
So what? So they make a Super Bowl but don't win it, and they never become
get out of the second round. Or
sure, then I'll say you're right. That's not an overreaction. But you could say that about anybody.
Do they win more playoff games than years extended?
Aaron Rodgers doesn't win a Super Bowl for the Jets, then it wasn't worth that. It wasn't worth doing all this.
You already know it wasn't worth the headache of Rodgers.
Dude, I don't know that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh my God.
No, I don't know that. But that's what I'm making this point. You know, you could make that case about anybody in their contract. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right. Jay Fowler, you can change music. We're changing. Right.
Okay.
This will not be the last NBA title for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. And I think you could make the case next year is another one.
If he doesn't turn his ankle against Miami last year, we just went back to back.
I don't know if you could make that case because you don't know if they were ready to do it last year against the Nuggets team that was playing at such a top level of their game.
Yeah, they were up 2-1 on the Warriors.
So I know it. I hear you. But I look at the way that they played again, defensively smothering everybody on the perimeter. The way that they played, you know, I don't think this is nonstop. How well they played on both ends of the floor. I could say that this you could make the case they're going to do it again next year. So that's not an overreaction.
I love that, Rich.
By any stretch of the imagination.
I love that. Make sure you call Coop Champ for the rest of the summer.
He's so psyched. What else? We got one more?
I got a few more. I got to say, the Olympic team was announced for the golf for the United States.
Yeah.
It's a travesty that Bryson's not on the Olympic team.
Who are you taking on?
Wyndham Clark. What are we doing? He's been terrible this year. Morikawa, Shoffley, Scheffler, obviously deserving. They've been playing great.
Right. Okay.
Alan Shipnuck yesterday said Bryson's the best golfer in the world right now. Why is he on the Olympic team?
I don't know. Why isn't Caitlin Clark on the Olympic team?
Bryson DeChambeau is better at golf than Caitlin.
I'm just mixing stories here.
I totally get it. But come on.
I don't know.
This guy's the biggest personality in golf right now.
I can't push back on this one. I can't push back on it, but you know, I feel bad for Wyndham Clark.
I don't know how much you watched while you were out of the country, but he was remarkable, Bryson.
I hear you, and electrified some folks too.
Yeah.
So I can't push back on that. Right. Give me one more.
A few more. Baseball. After a run of recent injuries, the Dodgers, they're not going to win the NL West. Come on.
I think that's a total overreaction.
They're only 8.5, Bob.
Dude, what a total overreaction that is. Come on, man.
They lost the MVP.
They still won. Well, but they'll get him back.
And they're 1B pitcher.
They'll get him back. They'll get him
really?
Back.
Really? Two month injury?
Dude, the Dodgers.
When's he coming back?
The Dodgers just have to. So what? So they might have to go to Philadelphia for a game 7? Is that what you're saying? And they can't win it? I'm not going to say that. You can't say they won't win the NL West. I mean, I thought you'd go with the NL right now. Division?
Man,
come on.
They're not going to win their division. Someone's going to catch them. Giants, Padres.
That's a total overreaction.
Oh, you're crazy.
That's a total overreaction.
And because we love him, Rich, Paul Skeens is going to win the NL Cy Young this year.
That's an overreaction too, but I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
If he's 13-0, we were thinking about this. He probably has about a dozen more starts this year.
Okay. If he wins them all?
If he's 13-0, he's 4-0 right now. 13-0 with 150 Ks.
Who else is his competition?
120 innings.
Who else is his competition? Zach Wheeler?
Glasnow.
Glasnow's been terrific.
Ranger Suarez.
Okay.
Wheeler, come on. They're not must-see TV. Guy with the stash is must-see TV.
I would love to see it. It would delight us. But I think that's over. It's an overreaction.
Right. He's 100.
But I appreciate you overreacting. Good job, Christopher. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. That's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. By the way, our podcast version of Overreaction Monday, we're going to be back in July on that front. That's brought to you by Game Time, so it makes only sense here to start telling you about buying baseball tickets right now. Go to a game and use Game Time tickets to do it. I'm going to do that for this weekend. I love going and using Game Time for a baseball game because certainly the view from your seat feature is so crucial for a baseball game. You get to see exactly where the field is. You get to see exactly where the mound is. You get to exactly know how much your ticket costs before you purchase it as well. It makes buying tickets with Game Time, buying baseball tickets with Game Time, so easy. And if you just want to wait, if you just make a last minute decision, guess what? Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. I use it to get baseball tickets. You should as well. The guesswork's totally removed when you buy baseball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit gametime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, this is going to be a fun finish to this show. I would not miss it. We got some fun in store. We're going to take the filter off. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Okay, as you could see, the cone that our landlords are terrific. I'm not complaining. I just wish that stuff wouldn't just get placed in the 3-foot by 3-foot radius that's in that courtyard. That's the only spot to be over the shoulder. The cone is gone. TJ, you did, in fact, remove it.
I did.
What was it protecting the pedestrians of our area?
Just the ground.
What do you mean?
There was nothing there.
Just the ground.
Literally. Look.
Okay.
The video.
So I'm expecting to see a hole underneath here.
You see how I circled it? I thought maybe a snake's
okay, appreciate
gonna pop
that.
Out.
There it is.
Who knows? The portal
be careful,
of hell could
you
be
could
under
trip.
There.
You could trip. And then
there was nothing.
What do you mean there was nothing?
There was nothing there.
You moved it? Did you take a shot of what you? Okay, let's go back. No. Well,
you basically, all those bricks you saw, that was it. There was
nothing underneath it.
Nothing under there.
So that cone that was warning you could trip on it, you could actually, that was the obstruction that you could trip on. It was the actual cone saying, watch your step. Of anything that was out there, the cone is what could most make you trip than anything that was covered.
I wonder if they were washing it earlier.
Was that what it was?
And then just left it and forgot.
Okay,
perhaps.
They're doing other stuff.
I mean,
making our surrounding area pretty and beautiful and safe for everyone.
Yeah, I love that
guy. But yeah, I thought maybe a brick was loose or there was something. No, nothing.
Somebody just walked right past it.
Yeah.
Did they fall?
No.
No. That's what I'm saying.
There's a guy pointing over there, too.
Can you imagine if they fell because you moved the cone?
While we're on there. And looking like the figure that's on that cone. Like, whoa. Wait a minute. The only thing I could trip on is that actual cone. See, it makes it seem like there's some unstable ground underneath it.
See,
but
see how I'm circling it?
I see
sure
how you're circling.
You know.
Right. But then you remove it. Okay.
Very clean ground.
All right. Do we hold on. Can we run it out to how he turns around? And what do we see here? Nothing.
Nothing.
All right. Great.
Nothing.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Nothing.
Here we are. All right, so let's do some housekeeping here.
Housekeeping?
Jeff Van Gundy has been hired as an assistant coach. He just got a ring last night.
Right.
As a consultant for the Celtics. We assume they give their consultants rings.
I would imagine.
All right. But he has been hired as an assistant coach, lead assistant of Ty Lue. for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yes, indeed.
Very exciting. So maybe, just maybe, that's the team on all of your pennants, that of your meme of all the teams that you root for. But we have updated the Met one.
that's amazing.
Clippers are the team that's going to give you the championship banner first. But we have updated the Mets banner. Unfortunately, Mr. Met is out and Grimace is in.
I mean, it's disrespectful to Mr. Met, so I don't have anything to do with it.
I don't think it's disrespectful at all. I think it's respectful of the
taste buds,
the being that has sparked a 6-game win streak to bring the Mets within 3 games under 500 and a game out of the final wild card spot in New York. In the National League.
Yeah, they heard you trashing them a couple days ago.
I'm not trashing.
Oh, no. A few days ago, you were on a little roll where you were trashing the Mets.
No, I was being honest about the Mets.
Which was trashing them.
Didn't see that someone to them. Didn't see someone from McDonald land potentially sparking anything.
Hey, does Grimace have more fingers than Mr. Met?
Good question.
I think he has less.
Appendages is what we would refer to with Grimace.
Yeah.
So there you have it. So that's your update. Maybe Jeff Van Gundy being added to the Clippers is the team of yours that might provide you with a championship first, similar to my Michigan Wolverines for football and the Boston Celtics for you, Chris Brockman. You showed up in a zip-up Celtic garb, and then you unzipped it. Now you've got the gamer of
Paul Pierce
underneath.
From 08.
And I just must say this for you, Chris. I expected you to be worse today. I expect you've been extremely restrained. So I know he really wants to go all in on this.
He better say what I want.
So here's what we're going to do. In the few minutes we have left, I'm going to give you 90 seconds and you need to give me your biggest mass hole for 90 seconds. All right. We have even created a graphic for this segment. Let's put it up. 90 seconds of mass hole. There you are, Chris. I think that's a terrific meme.
Can I leave before he does?
And you got to sit through this. You got to sit through it. Because you're somebody he wants to direct this to.
I bet.
We're going to have a clock. Can I have the music, please? Can I have the music, please? All right. And now, as soon as I put you on the clock, we go. 90 seconds and go. Chris.
All right. February 5th, 2019. You guys remember that day?
No.
That was the New England Patriots 6th Super Bowl parade. All right. So it's been 5.5 years roughly since the last parade. The next one's coming this Friday in Boston. As Paul Pierce would say, gas up the duck boats. Guess what? That last 5.5 years, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Bucks fans, the Raptors, who else won a championship recently?
The Nuggets.
Guess what? You're not winning anymore, okay? This run that it's about to happen, I hope you're ready. Tatum and Brown, they climbed the mountaintop. They withstood all the adversity. How much time I got? They withstood all the adversity. All these Nick Wright, Stephen A. loser hacks trying to say.
Break up
the Jays. Do you see what they said? Mavs and 5. All you Mavs and 6 losers, go home, okay? The run that is about to happen is going to make what the Warriors just did look like a kiddie play. You know what I mean?
30 seconds.
TJ, 5, 6 rings. Get ready. Okay? Hope you guys got yours because it's going to be a long time before anybody else gets one, okay? Then the Patriots are coming back. Drake May's probably going to start this year. We're going to win a Super Bowl in like 3 years. You think the parades are done? The parades are never ending, okay? We've got 13 since 2001, 14 for me, you throw in Syracuse, and we've only just begun.
We did it!
And scene.
Done.
Did you feel better?
Whew, I feel alive.
That's great. I'm glad it ended before you got to the Red Sox taking 2 or 3 from the Yankees this weekend.
Well, you had to give them 95 seconds.
No, I'm glad. It's over. You got it through it. I gave you 90 seconds of mass hole, and you're done. That's the first and hopefully only edition of 90 Seconds of Mass Hole.
Maybe once a month.
No.
Who are these other guys?
I don't know who they are.
Guaranteed their names are Sully and Fitz.
Sully and Fitz,
that
everybody.
Make sense.
Dude, stop it. Stop it.
Right on Friday.
Ugh. Guys, you know who's in studio tomorrow from the latest Beverly Hills Cop? Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, man.
And we are going to do a full-on celebrity true or false about that, Stripes, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I wouldn't miss it if I were you. And Rashawn Gary of the Packers as well, and Adam Thielen of the Panthers. That's how we're rolling on Wednesday, back to finish Tuesday in a sec.
Every story eventually comes to an end. This June, hear the final episode of Season 2 of the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, Durham. In the Red Clay tells the unbelievable true story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history. In the podcast that people are calling riveting, incredibly moving, captivating, and addicting. Binge Seasons 1 and 2 of In the Red Clay now, wherever you listen.